Well, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. We've touched on this verse the last 2 weeks, and I want to build on this. Let this be sort of the cornerstone of where we're going today. We're talking about overcoming offense, overcoming bitterness. All right, and here's a verse that talks about that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Let's read it. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Notice that God connects holiness and peace together, peace with men and holiness. Okay? But it also starts off by saying in 15, the beginning part, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows, springs up. And so the warning here is don't miss the grace of God. Look for it. Expect it. Pray for it. Believe for it. The grace of God. Whatever situation you find yourself in, this message I'm going to declare to you today doesn't just talk about, if you've been offended by people. It'll apply to that, but it'll apply in any situation. If you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, the admonition in Hebrews 12:15 says, don't miss the grace of God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Look for it. Expect it. Don't miss it. Because if you miss the grace of God, what happens? The result is, look at the end of verse 15. Bitter roots grow up, they cause trouble, and they defile many. Bitter roots grow up, they cause trouble, and they defile many. Did you notice that the bitter root that springs up in you and I affects other people? Amen. No man is an island. Okay, the world would have us believe, hey, as long as I leave everybody else alone, I'm okay. No, that's not true. Where your heart goes affects the people around you. Okay, what you allow in your heart. If you allow bitterness, resentment, if you miss the grace of God and bitterness results, it's going to affect other people around you in a bad way, in an adverse way. It says, it will defile many. It will cause trouble, and it will defile many. Now, in these two verses, I want you to see the connecting thoughts here. Number one, I want you to see this. God doesn't want us to miss His grace. He doesn't want us to miss His grace. I already said that. Number two, grace enables us to live in peace with all men. Peace with all men. It says there at the beginning of verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Grace is an enabling power for you and I to live in peace with all men. Okay? With the people. Not with what they're doing, not with what they're saying, not in how they're sinning against you necessarily, but with them. And there is a difference. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the scripture says he endured the cross despising its shame. Jesus despised every minute of the cross. I got to tell you, it was a bitter, bitter pill for him to swallow. He did it because he loved us. He did it because he loved the Father. But it was repulsive to Jesus. It was not fun. It was not enjoyed by Jesus. He did it despising the shame. Okay? So what I'm saying is when things come against you adversely, and many times they come through people, okay? And when they do, here's what the scripture encourages to do. Reach out, receive grace. It'll keep you out of bitterness. It'll enable you to walk in peace with the people, with all men. Okay? There's a grace for believers that look for it to be able to handle any situation, no matter what you're in. Okay? Got a grumpy boss, got an irritating neighbor in your neighborhood, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the situation. There's grace to enable you to walk in peace with all men. Amen. If you look for it. Not with what they're doing, not with the junk they're throwing your way. Nobody likes that. Okay? God's not asking you to like the junk. But it says you can walk in peace with the people. And we shared with you a verse last week from 1 Peter. We're not going to turn to it, but I want to just kind of summarize it. 1 Peter 3:17 and 18, you can write it down and go back and read it later on your own. 1 Peter 3:17 and 18, it says, Christ set an example for us. He suffered for us, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. And here's a power, saint, that I want to encourage you to look for in the midst of your suffering, whatever you're suffering. Maybe nobody's suffering today. Great. I'm glad you're having a great weekend. But next week starts a new week. You get in a group, new opportunity to suffer, okay? So this may apply to you today with where you're at. Maybe nobody's in here suffering. Doesn't matter. This is to prepare you, all right? But Jesus, when he suffered, he was just. The people that were creating the suffering for him were unjust. But it says that what he did in the midst of that suffering, in other words, by not retaliating, by walking in God's grace back toward the sinners that were nailed into the cross, he brought us to God. He brought us to God. That's reconciliation. That's reconciliation. When you and I suffer unjustly, I'm talking about unjust suffering. We didn't deserve it. Like I said, if you run somebody off the lane on the highway, you deserve the signals you get from them. You deserve the honking and you deserve the road rage, okay? You earned it. But I'm talking about unjust suffering. When we are in a situation where we're suffering wrongfully, we're in the right, whoever else or the situation is wrong toward us. The Bible says if we respond properly, 1 Peter 3:17, 18, we will actually bring those people to God. That's powerful. That's powerful. And we likened it to the verse that Jesus declared over the man that was healed, the paralytic, which shared on this a couple weeks ago too. When he was healed, the Bible says the people were astonished that Jesus had been given such authority, the authority on earth to forgive sins. Now Jesus gives us that same power. In other words, something's been thrown your way, you can respond correctly to it, and it's in a sense it's blanket wrapping the negativity in that situation, to where you're not exposing someone else's fault, you're not exposing someone else's wrong, you're loving them, and God will bring them to himself. It's reconciliation. Amen? When you love the person, not what they're throwing your way, not what the situation's giving you, okay? You get in line at HEB or Kroger, and you know, someone's just acting obnoxious in line before you, or they cut in line. You don't love the situation. You don't love the suffering. Nobody loves suffering, okay? But you love the person. Grace enables you to walk in peace with all men. And when you do that, it reconciles. It draws them to God. We have the power, like Jesus did here on earth, we have the power to put a blanket over the wrongs of others and love them toward the Father. It's called reconciliation. I wrote this down. This is an original. Grace operating in you brings sinners to God. It's kind of a summary of 1 Peter 3:17 and 18. Grace operating in me, when I respond properly through the grace of God, grace operating in you brings sinners to God. Yeah, I got to tell you the sad news. I got good news and bad news. The good news is you and I have the power to bring sinners to God. Isn't that good news? The bad news is it usually happens long after we're off the scene. You know, most of the saints, quote unquote, became saints long after they died. You know, if you look in Catholic history or human history, any kind of history, people who were, you know, they were usually really ragged on in this life. But after they died, people go, you know, he kind of had this right, or they had this right, they kind of had this right. Wow, they were noble. Wow, they were saintly. Let's call him a saint, you know. And usually people that were, you know, suffering in this life later were dubbed a saint, right? So here's the situation. Many times when you're in that midst of suffering, and I don't know who this is for today. The Holy Spirit's really directing me. This is helping somebody this week, because it's not exactly what I would have preached. But from these verses, we see that when you and I respond properly, it's going to bring those people to God. But it usually happens later, long after we're off the scene, long after we're out of the picture, to where they can come back and say, you know, I was wrong. I'm sorry. It's usually years later. But sometimes the Holy Spirit does enable us to run into those people again in life. How many of you had this experience? You run into somebody 5, 10 years later and they go, you know what? I was a stinker back then, but man, you loved me. You walked in the love of God. And you know, I've come to know Jesus. You know, we had a neighbor like that one time. I mean, they were just, it was like living next to the Beverly Hills, or well, not even the Beverly Hills, but it was worse. I don't know. It was horrible. And the situation was quite suffering on our part. We've called it suffering. Nobody suffers in America compared to the rest of the world. But anyways, it was suffering on our part. But years later, we saw them in church. And we were so touched that Jesus had saved them and redeemed them and called them out of darkness. Because, I mean, they were pretty lost. And, you know, a lot of times when you're in that situation, you don't even think there's any hope for this sinner, you know. But God can save the worst. Amen. I'm sure those Jews that were being, you know, their families were being split up when Paul was persecuting the church. Well, that his name was Saul then. The Bible says he was dragging them off to prison, right, putting them to death in front of the Pharisees and Sanhedrin. And, you know, some of those people must have just been shocked years later when Paul became the greatest apostle there was, preaching the gospel of Jesus. But that's the power we have. We can reconcile the situation when we respond properly. Now, we're not just talking about your ability to grit your teeth. In the world, there's a lot of kind of hype about, you know, just stick it out. Anybody can stick it out, you know, be tough, hang tough. You hear these phrases. But there's no power in those phrases. What we're talking about today, excuse me, is the grace of Jesus Christ to endure. The grace of Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. Human endurance only goes so far. Amen? All right? You know, we use this phrase, someone's getting on my nerves, or this situation really ticks me off, right? Whatever the situation, whatever the person, whatever the environment, whatever. But what I'm talking about to you today is the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ. We read about it there in Hebrews 12, the grace, the enabling to walk in peace. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is Paul's testament of what God did for him concerning grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 8. This is an amazing passage. These three verses. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. That's grace, right? Gracious favor. Paul's saying here, we got to such a point we didn't even want to live anymore, right? I don't think anybody in the room's to that point today. Y'all look pretty happy overall. Kind of a pretty happy group this morning here from Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, you all look happy. But Paul said we were to the point that we didn't even want to live any longer. That's how bad our suffering got. And he said we despaired of life, and yet there was something given to us. Let's look at it again. Look at the last part of verse 9. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. That's the grace I'm talking about this morning. It's a reliance on God. It's a reliance on him in the midst of any kind of suffering you're going through. And he gives grace. And Paul said the last part of that verse 11, he says, people will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to your prayers. Now, this has nothing to do with my message, but I don't want to forget to say it today. Christmas without Christ is a mess. Kind of a play on words. Christmas. Kind of get it? So I want to encourage you this holiday season, keep Jesus in the midst of your celebrations, right? He is life. That's just a little commercial, a little aside on Christmas. I had it in my notes here. Turn to Galatians 6. Christmas. Get it? Christmas. It's kind of a mess without Christ.
Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Keep Christ in it, and it's a holy day. All right. Galatians 6. Look at another verse that Paul talks about grace. Galatians 6:17. Galatians 6:17. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. You got trouble in your life? With a capital T? Anybody got trouble? You may not today, but who knows what tomorrow brings, right? Know this, Paul says here, if you don't talk to me about trouble, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. In other words, I've suffered already for Jesus. I know about trouble. That's what he's saying. Verse 18, he says, but the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase has really stood out to me this last year. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I mean, think about all that Jesus suffered. When Jesus was spat upon, when he was hit, he was beaten, he was mocked. Okay? What's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, we don't want to just skip over that phrase. We don't want to just say that as a blessing. You know, people come to the dinner table, they say grace, right? And we don't want grace to have no meaning. When we talk about these words or these concepts in the New Covenant, we want to describe them in the power that God means for them to have. And when we say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brother, what we're saying is the ability to endure any situation, any hardship, as Jesus did. In other words, Jesus represents the ultimate ability to endure against all odds, right? The grace of the Lord. And think about it. When Jesus was carrying his cross, even he got to the point, the Bible says he could no longer carry it. Jesus, if you've ever seen the movie The Passion by Mel Gibson, you've seen the depiction where time and time again he gets up. Why? Because he loved us. He redeemed us intentionally. Jesus was not a victim. Jesus laid his life down intentionally. But he got up time and time again, took the beatings, took the whippings, took the scourgings, took the spitting, the pounding, everything. And he got to a point, even though his will on the inside was saying, yes, I'll take this because it's for their redemption. He was saying that again and again from his heart. It got to a point physically he could no longer actually carry the cross. So what happened? The Holy Spirit provided a man from, I think it was Cyrene, was the name of the country he was from, right? And it says a man came along and actually helped carry Jesus. The soldiers, you know, volunteered him to help carry the cross with Jesus. Even in that, in the story, that is the grace. That's an example of the grace of Jesus Christ. Your inability to carry on any further, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings something alongside of you, right? He brings something, somebody, some help, some lift, some breath of the Spirit that helps you carry the load. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a provision from God to help you carry the load when the load's too heavy. Amen? Isn't that good? It's a promise from God. That's what we're talking about. When we say, Al, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this week. It doesn't mean you have to go grit your teeth and you suffer through it. Now, we all have a human endurance level. We have an ability as humans to say, oh, I can stick this out. I'm tough enough. I can do this. But there comes a point, and Paul said it, we despaired even of life. In other words, we got so beat down in the situation, we didn't even want to live. In other words, our will was broken. Our desire to even keep on going was broken. And that's when the grace of Jesus Christ steps in. And it lifts us. And God will provide another person if he has to, like the man from Cyrene, to carry the cross, to carry the load with you. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's available to you and I. And that's why he says in Hebrews, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's here for you. Look for it. Expect it. Keep your heart ready, expecting the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? And no matter what situation you're in, it's available. The grace of the Lord. I love that promise. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in 2 Corinthians, just back in the book we were in right before Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I want to say this. When you're in a situation that's pushing your buttons, if you respond in humanity, if you respond in the flesh, you've just missed the grace of God. If you respond in retaliation, you've just missed the grace of God. Okay? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. No, that's not the grace of Jesus Christ. That's not what we're talking about. The grace of Jesus Christ says, when they slug you and you want to hit them back, you don't. That's what Paul's talking about in Hebrews 12. When he says, walk in peace with all men. this grace, if we don't miss the grace of God, it'll enable us to walk in peace with all men. But if you and I choose to respond in our own way, okay? The Greeks are really good for this. I was studying World War II history years ago, and one of the books I bought, I went on a book frenzy for a while, and one of the books I bought, it was interesting. I didn't know this about Greek people, but apparently they're just really prone to vengeance. I mean, if you accidentally run over a dog in one village, you know, some your neighbor's dog, you can expect he's probably going to run over your dog tomorrow. That's just the way they are. They're just very, very responsive, okay? They're very action-motivated, apparently. I'm not saying that other nationalities aren't, but the Greeks are very expressive, they make their actions known, put it that way. And what I'm talking about here, when we talk about the grace of Jesus Christ, many times in a given situation, you and I have to pause. We have to pause. Because our first reaction, our first response is usually the flesh. It's usually not the grace of God going back toward that situation. Like I said, if someone spits on you like they spit on Jesus, if someone hits you with a crown of thorns, you don't want to, you know, buy them lunch. But the grace of Jesus Christ says, and you leave it in God's hands and you love. And the Bible says when you do that, you bring people to God. Now, I've been in many situations where I was unlovely and unlovable. Can you believe that? I know, I'm just letting you hear it all today. But I've been unlovable at times in churches I've been at, in different places over the years, and I've seen people walk in love toward me. And I'll tell you, years later, man, it's a lesson learned. But what were they doing? They were walking in the grace of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you bring people to God. You help them mature. You help them grow up. You help them grow in love by setting that example. Now, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, his thorn in the flesh. You know, you've all heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh? You've heard about that phrase or that idea? If you've been in church for a while, most of you have heard a sermon or two on that. Paul had some visions from God. Look in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now that last part you should underline, highlight, circle, make a note of. That phrase. Because we're not just reading a commentary of a guy who's, you know, this superhero apostle in the Bible. What Paul experienced, he experienced on our behalf to be an example to you and I today. This relates to what we go through today. And so when Paul says what he said right there, I want to read it right. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Okay, most of your translations are probably pretty close to that. When I am weak, then I am strong. That's not just Paul's testimony. This should be a phrase that you and I confess, and speak, and declare. When you get in the midst of a rock and a hard place, when you get in that place in life where you feel like it's beyond your ability to endure, when you feel like life's waves are just pounding you. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's for you and I. That's our confession. Now, that's not to say I'm a superhero and I got some, you know, hidden strength way down inside of me. No, what it means is I'm leaning on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I'm weak, I'm really strong. Why? Because His grace rushes in when we're in weakness. And that's why Paul said that. Look at the verse before one more time. Verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake. In other words, it's not because I ran someone off the road. It's unjust suffering. It's not suffering because I earned it. He said, for Christ's sake. In other words, when I'm suffering as a believer, when I'm suffering because I'm doing right, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. The key here is dependency. If you want to experience the grace of God in your life, it's about dependency. Okay? Dependency. That's what that phrase means. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's like Jacob's limp. You remember the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel in the Old Testament? Jacob says that, you know, he was going to meet his brother the next day, and he went off by himself, and in the night an angel appeared to him, and he wrestled with the angel until daybreak, right? Remember the story, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And it says the angel wasn't prevailing against him, so he touched him in his hip socket. All right? And from then on, Jacob had a limp the rest of his life. He walked with a limp. Why? Because the legs of a man represent his strength. Your strength is in your legs. You know, when you're lifting heavy loads, what do? You don't lift with your back. You lift with your legs, especially pianos, right? Because the strength, God has designed the human anatomy to be, the strength is located in our legs. And so God touched his hip socket. It's a symbol to you and I of this. We as Jacob or Israel's, you know, we are the spiritual Israel in a sense. We're to walk with a limp through this life, symbolically. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about actual pain. No pain here. But symbolically, we walk with a limp. What does that mean? That means we don't lean on our own strength. We don't have to lean on our own strength. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us. If we won't miss it, it's there for you and I. And he enables us to be strong. I think of the verse in James, the book of James, that says, if any man lack wisdom, right? Let him ask of God who what? Gives liberally. All right? So first you've got to see your own lack. There comes a point in our life where we have to acknowledge our lack. Lord, I can't. It's okay to tell the Lord I can't in a certain situation. All right? Acknowledging your lack puts you in a position of humility to receive his grace. 1 Peter 5:5, if you want to take note of it, it says, God gives grace to the humble. He doesn't give it to the self-sufficient. If you're doing all right, you know, you meet someone on the street, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing all right. Okay, that's good. Nothing wrong with doing all right. But, you know, there comes a point in our life where we have to be humble to say, I'm not doing all right. I need you, Lord. I need your ability. 1 Peter 5:5. God gives grace. It's a gift. But he gives it to the humble. I defined grace this way. This is kind of my original, from borrowed from other people's ideas, but I wrote it down. It's my definition, signed RSA. God's grace is God's favor expressed through enabling provision or power. Grace is God's favor expressed to us in enabling provision or power. Like I mentioned, the guy that helped Jesus carry the cross, that was a provision, right? Up to that point, God had given Jesus power to endure himself. But even to that, at that point, physically, he couldn't endure anymore. So what did God do? God provided another. That's the grace of God. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus literally lived out this experience of grace so he could go to heaven and pour it into our lives. Amen? That when you and I don't have the ability any longer to endure, when we don't have the strength, when we don't have whatever it is that we lack in the situation, he can pour grace into our life. God gives grace to the humble. And by humble, all we mean is acknowledging, okay? It doesn't mean that you're like this perfect saintly person, Rebecca, you know, and okay, yeah, you qualify as humble, so then God's going to give it. No, humble just means, help, Lord, I need it. It just means you acknowledge your need. That's humble. The proud don't acknowledge that they have a need, right? But the humble say, I need it. I need it, Lord. You're a candidate. God gives grace to the humble. I want you to see the heart of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to close with this verse. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In the King James, it says it this way. I like verse 15. Listen to it in the King James. If you don't have King James, just look up here and listen. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The feeling. Jesus walked through this life. And there's nothing that you and I will go through in this life when it comes to suffering, when it comes to wrong, when it comes to situations of difficulty, persecution, doesn't matter. Trouble with a capital T, whatever that means to you, whatever it means to me. Jesus felt it in humanity. That's why he came to earth, so he could feel it. And he could feel what it's like to want to retaliate. He could feel what it's like to suffer pain. He could feel what it's like to want to get even or do this or, you know, all the sufferings of mankind. Jesus felt them. And it says he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our sufferings, so that he could be a merciful high priest. Look at the rest of verse 15. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet was without sin. And of course, that's the goal. When you and I are going through a situation that's tough, all right, the goal is to be without sin. We want to walk free of wrongdoing in the situation. And the Bible says when you do that, you'll keep bitterness out of your life. Going back to Hebrews 12, that's what we're talking about, you know, in the opening verse. Don't miss the grace of God. Allow the grace of God to come into you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will enable you to respond properly in any situation. Walk in peace with all men. And when you do that, you set yourself up to be bitter free, and you open your life up to receive the strength of God, to receive his provision, his enabling. He is a faithful high priest who is touched with. He knows. He felt. And he understands. It's not just like a sentiment when we say Jesus understands. It's not like human sentiment. You know, when we said, oh, bless their heart. You know, someone's suffering around us, well, we pat them on the head and say, bless their heart. That's just like human sentiment. It doesn't do anything to help that person. No, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rushes in and enables you to endure. It enables you to respond properly. It enables you to do the right thing and be the and keep your heart right in any situation. I put it this way. Grace is the bitterness antibiotic or antidote. Okay? Grace is the bitterness antidote in any situation. It's necessary. We're going to launch into, I believe, a series on healing in the coming weeks. Physical healing. But many times, by keeping the right attitudes in our soul, the right attitudes in our mind, in our heart, we already set ourselves up for physical healing. Did you know that? Doctors have proven that. Many diseases are directly tied into where a human's heart or thoughts have been. Okay? It's directly correlated. And that's why I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to hear this about keeping our heart right, bitterness, peace, all these things. You know, that we keep in our life, as we steward them well, it sets us up for good things, for health. All right? How many want good health in the coming year, 2016? Be a healthy, wealthy year, right? It's going to be a good year. God's setting us up to receive his grace. Well, there's some good verses I want to read, but we're out of time. So I just want to say this. That verse in Galatians that we read, what Paul closed the book with, he told the church, he says, don't let anybody trouble me. In other words, don't let anybody. Because what was happening is the Jews, I didn't talk about it earlier, but this thorn in his flesh, what many Bible scholars believe that was people would come behind. Paul would go to, say, Manville, and he'd preach in Manville, and all these people would get saved, and they'd believe on Jesus. Then he'd go to Pearland. Okay, I'm just using modern cities here, okay? Follow me. But when he'd go to Pearland, these Judaizers, these people that were real strict into Judaism, or, you know, Judaism, they would come behind Paul in the town he had just been in, and they'd tell all the Christians, they said, no, believing in Jesus isn't enough. You got to be circumcised. If you've never been circumcised as a male, you got to obey the law of Moses. You got to do this. And they put people back under law. And Paul would have left town. Well, what happened was they followed him everywhere he went. In other words, they were tearing down everything he had built in the church. And Paul said, this was my thorn in the flesh. But God gave him grace. And that's why he ended the book of Galatians. He said this, don't talk to me about trouble. I've been through trouble. That's Paul's, I'm summarizing Galatians 6:17. And then he ends with this promise. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's a promise from God. And I just want to declare that today as we close. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Whatever that means. And what's wonderful about grace is that it's not limited. Okay? If you need strength, it's strength. If you need peace, the grace of the Lord Jesus is peace. If you need endurance, it's endurance. Whatever you need, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ fills that need. Amen? And it's ours. It's our promise from the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together.